No, two people here. There's no one messing with me.
I know.
You're being like a nice, polite person.
Yeah. I was distracted. I was reading.
Okay. Well, it's not even, you know, honestly, like, it's not usually you. You're usually nice and polite, but there's some other rabble rousers we do business with.
Yep. Troublemakers, I say.
Mm-hmm. You hear that?
Yep.
This is some mild construction work going on in the other room. Did you have a good weekend? Did you have fun?
I did. Our band had a gig.
Mm.
Played at the Petworth Farmers Market.
Cool.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was cold, so yeah. We had a hard time playing for the first half of the set.
Right. Everybody's you're on guitar,
fingers
right?
Fingers were frozen. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet that's, yeah, with the cold hands, I'm guessing that's difficult. It's not like you can just, you know, put on some mittens, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. You could go hipster and have the fingerless gloves, but,
okay.
You know, nobody wanted to do that. So we would just, like, stuff our hands in our pockets between songs and try to, like,
okay. Warm up. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the sun came out and it was good for the second half, basically.
Was that for the encore?
We just played... actually, we played, like, three mini sets. We found out that we're really big amongst the 2 to 6-year-old demographic.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's where the money is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I said. Good thing they have a lot of disposable income.
Disposable diapers, too.
Mm.
Yeah, so just prepare to
it'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so just
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch in unbeatable goodness. Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is October 14th, 2018. This is episode 337. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This week, we're pretty much just getting hyped for the season. Joining me is just one of our analysts, still coast to coast, like buttered toast. From the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, undebeatable Joey? it's good to be here. Yeah, season tipping off Tuesday. Getting hyped.
Yeah. Glad to have you here. I think Coulson and Harper got a little too overhyped and were overcome by the vapors. Hopefully they will be ready to tip off the season in a couple days. So we'll have them back next time. But before we start the show, I just want to remind you that you can support us anytime you shop at Amazon. If you just follow the link in the show notes, or go to our website, theunbeatables.com/Amazon, and do your shopping. Kicks a few bucks back to us and helps support what we do. Two preseason games wrapped up since we last were with you. Monday, October 8th. Pacers beat the Cavs. That's the defending Eastern Conference champion Cavaliers. Beat them 111 yes. to 102. Oladipo dropped 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Domantas Sabonis 16, 12, and 2. It's a good win over the Cavs. It's a preseason game. But Jason, any notes from this one?
I only caught a couple minutes from this one. I thought that the guys look good. They were running up and down. They looked like they were having fun playing basketball, which I think is always good. The lead was you know, the final score does not reflect how dominant the Pacers were over the Cavs for much of the game. And, yeah, that was good. I like the activity again out of Edmund Sumner. He scored 14 in this one. And, yeah, that was about it, I guess.
Yeah, so Sumner looking great so far. He's having a fantastic preseason. I'm hoping that we get to see this guy a little bit as the season goes on.
Yeah, it sounds like he'll be sticking with that two-way deal, which is a very favorable deal for the Pacers, it turns out. They can sort of extend it into a full contract at any point if they want to. So they can just delay, and it sounds like they can also get away with having him on the NBA roster but not using his 45-day counter until the G League season actually starts, which is in November, beginning of November. So they'll probably take advantage of that, I'm sure.
Yep. Well, you know, the money, you know, he may get a few less dollars because of these sort of loopholes, but you know, regardless, he's still going to get some good experience, you know, playing with the first team and just getting experience on the floor and just being around those guys in the locker room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm sure since he's a Xavier guy, you know, it'll be good for the team because they'll learn a lot from him.
That's right. Yeah.
The second game of the week, Pacers took on the Bulls on ESPN national TV. Everybody wants the whole nation wants to watch Pacers Bulls preseason games. And the Bulls took this one 104-89. Thad Young at 16 points, 10 rebounds. Sabonis, again, had a solid performance, 17, 14, and 4. And I'll tell you what, the Bulls had a pretty hefty lead in this game for much of it. And it was not competitive. But luckily, the scores don't matter too much. Pacers ended up going 2-2 in the preseason. And it's a four game road trip to start the year off with. So
yeah, exactly. I screwed you up. I'm realizing now when I made the script, Sabonis was actually 13-9-2, but still very good. I think he had basically a triple double, or not a triple double, a double double in every preseason game. So he's looking strong. Yeah, this one again, I didn't catch a lot of it. Clearly, the Pacers didn't get the message that it was my birthday, and or maybe they did, and they were out celebrating, and that's why they didn't play so well. So, according to my dad, the Bulls just hit a bunch of threes, and that, you know, once you get down big in a preseason game, it's hard to muster the energy to, like, rally back. And
yeah. Yeah. I mean, in fact, you'd be negligent if you had, you know, work too hard to, you know, potentially injure yourself to come back from a, you know, a 20-point deficit.
Exactly.
So.
And plus, you know, Nate McMillan can put this in his, you know, coffers for the next time we play the Bulls and be like,
yep,
you know, they embarrass you on national TV. Get them back.
So that was it. That's it for the preseason. Real season starts very soon, Wednesday. I'm excited for this one. It's going to be a great year. You know, I spent a lot of this weekend at home doing stuff around the house. It was just, you know, catching up on just on what's been going on. Just NBA news, Pacers news. You know, I'm ready. Catching up on articles and kind of cramming for the season here.
Mm-hmm.
What's your what are you looking forward to on opening day?
Well, so the Pacers take on the Grizzlies on Wednesday, I guess. Should be a good matchup. I mean, I want to see us come out and get a good win to start the season. Get a little more sense of how these different lineups are going to play together, how the new guys are going to play. I mean, it'll be good to see how the crowd goes, how the crowd reacts to a non-Lance performance. See what gets them hyped now. Yeah, I don't know. And then, like I said, you know, in our Pacer preview last week, you know, just keeping an eye on, you know, the Oladipo as a all-star, seeing if Miles Turner can make a leap, and then, yeah, looking at this chemistry situation was my main things.
Sure, yeah, I guess the chemistry thing's big. You know, that's the one of our biggest upsides from last year. And, you know, the core of the team is still together, minus Lance, who would be the, he would be the core of the core. but, you know, hopefully the changes, the roster changes that were made won't affect anything negatively. It's possible that the team would be, the chemistry would be even better. You know, it's not going to be on day one, you wouldn't think, but, you know, having most of the same guys back, you know, shouldn't, you know, hopefully not too much will change on that front.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And I mean, I think that they hopefully are very mission focused, you know, this year, the goal is winning a title of course it's winning a title, but I think winning the division is a big goal for this team. And, you know, this first week we get a matchup with who I think will be the biggest competitor in the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday. That'll be a huge game going forward. Yeah, because they look tough. New revamped offense, new coach. You know, Giannis, a year older and a year crazier. I think he grew another 3 inches or something like that. But
probably.
Yeah.
6 more inches on the wingspan too, I'm guessing.
Yeah. But as far as NBA opening season, I'm especially excited about this game on Tuesday, kicking off the NBA season. Philadelphia 76ers at Boston Celtics. Mm. That's the cream of the crop of the East right there, going at one another. So that's a great way to start the season.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. It'll be nice to see the Celtics in, hopefully, closer to their final form. Mm. With some healthy players.
Yep, exactly. I'm looking forward to seeing Gordon Hayward play an actual game.
It's been a while.
Yep.
I've seen him play some games, but it's because he's been streaming video games on Twitch. But hopefully we'll see him on the court.
Yes.
Quick aside, did you see Kyrie apologize for his flat earth shenanigans?
I kind of saw that headline, but I did not read the article.
Yeah.
So he admits that it was just a hoax, or he was just pushing buttons.
Mostly, yeah. But it also, it sounded like he went down some dark rabbit holes on YouTube for conspiracy theories. Mm. And I think he was consuming his a lot of things on social media that maybe should be checked in somewhere else as well.
Right.
He's an interesting guy. He also announced, I think it was at the preseason or at the fan jam or something like that, the equivalent of a fan jam for the Celtics, that he was going to re-sign with the Celtics at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of an interesting move.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Way to use your leverage, but
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, this season's going to be exciting. Of course, the East has changed a bunch. LeBron is gone. You know, I want to see how the Lakers turn out with Lance and of course LeBron James. See how that goes. even in the preseason, LeBron was doing some crazy stuff. You know, buzzer beaters from 40 feet. And just looking good. This, you know, progression of some of these other teams that I love, the Spurs. You know, I want to see how DeMar DeRozan fits in with this team. See if they're able to make some noise in the West. They should be good. Pop is still there. We'll see if the Rockets could fall apart like we're all hoping they do.
The Spurs, have no point guards.
Yeah.
And it seems like the Rockets might be a trade destination for Jimmy Butler, which sounds like there was some shenanigans this week with Jimmy Butts. You got any deets on that?
So apparently, you know, it's changing a lot. It's a day-to-day situation, but he apparently, you know, wasn't doing anything with the team, and then he came back and then worked. He in a scrimmage with the third team. Apparently, he and the third team just destroyed the rest of the first team.
Oh, really?
So he was, you know, he was on a mission from God, and he completed that mission. They, you know, he held a players only meeting, and then I believe he had a discussion with coach, and did practice with the team. I'm not sure what's going on. It seems like they're going to try and have him play, but then maybe they'll try and trade him. I'm not totally sure. He's disruptive, if nothing else, but maybe he can turn all this into a positive, at least on the win-loss.
I have no idea. It's a mess. We talked about it a little bit in our Western Conference preview, and it only gets weirder and weirder. So I just don't know, you know, how... If his goal is to win basketball games, how throwing your team under the bus achieves that goal. Because, you know, that's not what a leader is supposed to do. And, you know, I don't know that the players that he is concerned about, I don't know that they're going to respond to that type of motivational tactic, right? So, I don't know. I think Tibbs loves him, so he will not want to trade him. So, potentially the most likely scenario is the owner firing Tibbs, and then whoever replaces Tibbs trading Jimmy Butler to sort of hit the reset button at some level. But yeah, it sounds like they had a deal on the table with Miami, but that fell apart because Miami did not want to give up Josh Richardson or something like that. Something stupid like that. who knows?
Yeah, I heard, there are a couple other teams that were rumored recently, but who knows? You know, I was one of the things I was telling you, I was catching up on these things. I was listening to the sideline guys. I think it's Jeremiah Johnson and Pat Boylan. Mm. They've got a podcast.
Okay,
they do, and one of them had some interviews with Donnie Walsh back, you know, a couple of years ago. But like, you know, hearing this from Donnie Walsh, you know, there's a lot of misinformation that's out there in the trade and in the draft. And there's always stuff that's just not true. So
that's true.
Anything that's not confirmed, anything you don't see, I have a view with a lot of suspicion because there are people actively feeding bad information out there.
Right.
So it's hard to tell.
Fair enough. We got to get a crackdown on these fake news things on NBA Reddit, just like Facebook did.
Oh, what other thing that you might be interested in? Nate McMillan, our fearless leader, he's been named to USA Basketball staff. He's going to be an assistant coach with Greg Popovich.
Wait, what?
Leading the team.
Oh,
they wanted his expertise.
Are we trying to throw the 2020 World Basketball Championships or something?
Probably, yeah. It's probably a betting thing, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Pop has a lot on the Spaniards or something.
Well, and they brought him Pop in to mentor a coach that you know, isn't quite up to snuff.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. So I mean, maybe this is great. I mean, well, yeah. So, all joking aside, congrats to Nate. That's a great honor. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, anytime you get a chance to hang out with people that are really elite at their job and hopefully learn something from them, that's a good thing. You know, we get excited when Miles Turner and Oladipo get named to the practice squad for the Olympic or national team for the same reason. So hopefully Maybe Pop will teach Nate how he's been beating him all these years, and then Nate can learn from that, or not adjust and continue doing the same thing.
Yep. And don't worry about inbound plays.
No. Who needs to get the ball in bounds?
Yep. Overrated. Well, let's take a quick break here. Got some music from Young Karts. This track is called Big Smoke. You can check it out in the show notes. You can download it for free.
Yeah! Nice.
For free. From the break, make sure to check out the show notes if you are interested in more of the music from Young Karts. Got my stat of the week. This week, wanted to talk about Miles Turner. You know, if you follow on Instagram, you may have seen he has been in the gym, hitting it hard, and he's been working out with Sabonis, and they're both trying to get ripped. and maybe make the same kind of a jump that that Oladipo did last year. For me, the stats that go along with that, he weighs 5 more pounds, and that's something I think that, you know, we've been looking to just get add a little bit more muscle. So that's 5 more pounds he's added. He's up to 255, but his body fat went from 14% to 7%, so cut it in half, and he gained some weight in the process. So he's going to be stronger this coming year. You know, there's no downsides to this that I can see.
You know, I mean, it's interesting. In preparation for this season, I gained 5 pounds as well. So body fat percentage calculation came back undetermined, so I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, the thing is, I appreciate the effort that you put in, and I think that's good for a sixth year podcaster, but I'm looking to get the most improved podcaster, so I've already gained 10 pounds.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, you know, Colson has been excited about Miles Turner's body, and it's good to see some quantification of this as well. So, I mean, he looks like a beast. And, of course, that's step one of making a little mini leap. You know, I think last year we were quite frustrated, or at least I was quite frustrated with what was really a step backwards for Turner in terms of progression as a professional basketball player. It's not that he played super poorly, and I think part of it was he never really got healthy the entire year. But, you know, you expect a third-year guy to really be adding things to his game and increasing his numbers, and he, you know, stayed flat or went backwards in some categories. So this is a big year for him. It's, you know, contract year, so that's always a good motivator. And if he can, you know, up his game, that's obviously a huge boon for the Pacers. So
yeah, I feel like for Turner, we have always, and I think in the organization as well, they have really put a high ceiling on what he can do. You know, I think that a lot of us had not expected, but hoped that he would turn into an all-star. And he was doing, you know, the freshman sophomore games around the all-star break. You know, he was in that path, and he's been fine. Like, he's been good. You know, it's not like he's going to get washed out of the league or anything if he doesn't get much better. But he's very good, but I think that people who watch him feel like he could be great and he could be fantastic. He does stuff. He's just got a very unique skill set. You know, he's a very good shot blocker, and he's added a 3-point shot. And that's not like it's something that everybody has in this league. Mm-hmm. And he's just fun. I think he understands the game very well. You know, when the first year or two, you know, we all remember sometimes where he would get turned around on defense, and but he's not, he's nowhere near that anymore. He seems much more stable in his understanding of the game and what he's supposed to be doing and executing that. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping this year that it even if it's not a huge jump, maybe hopefully it'd be awesome if it was, but even if it's just a nice, you know, concrete, you know, step in the positive direction. Cause he is one of the centerpieces of this team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's him and Oladipo that we're building around right now. So, there was this article that you mentioned and got these stats from. The other interesting tidbit in there was a little bit of an interview with Nate McMillan where he was talking about, you know, this concept of playing Turner and Sabonis together, which, you know, Harper on this podcast and many of us, the rest of us, have been wanting to see more of. And, you know, clearly I think the three young pieces that you want to build around, or that are the sort of seeming future of the franchise, are Oladipo, Turner, and Sabonis. And, you know, one question we have to figure out is if all three of those guys can play together, basically. And most pertinent to that is whether Sabonis and Turner can play together. But Nate in this article seemed to indicate that he has no inclination of playing them together, despite the fact that people talk about it all the time, and it has to be like at the top of the whiteboard in the off-season discussions. What did you make of this? Is he just very traditional and doesn't see that, or he sees the league going smaller and there's never going to be a time when you play two bigs at the same time? Or,
I mean, that's, it's sort of both of those things where, you know, he had mentioned I mean, basically, yeah, it's just like, it's in today's NBA, you just can't have two big guys. And his feeling is that they're both fives, like that they're both centers, and ergo, that's it. Like, you can't have two guys playing. You can't have two centers. You know, you have to have somebody playing power forward, somebody who is a power forward, you know, playing that position.
Right.
So the way I took it from him was that this was not even really up for discussion because they both play the same position. So there was no flexibility in his approach, you know, when, you know, you look at it from maybe a larger perspective that, you know, maybe those are our three best guys in a couple of years.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You can't have one of your three best players, who particularly who's a young up-and-coming, one of those guys can't be on the bench. You need to be on the floor. So either fix it or move it.
Well, and regardless, if you think that those guys, you know, if not this year, by next year are the three best players on your team, regardless of position, you want your best players on the floor,
right,
as much as possible, right? And so that means, yeah, that they have to play together. You know, it's like, I wonder if he would have the same roadblock if we had like 2 6 8 guys or something like that that basically play small forward and like would be like, nah, we can't play one of them at power forward, nor can we play one of them at shooting guard because they're small forwards. Like, it just seems like a very rigid way of thinking about the game when we're moving into an era of positionless basketball, and it's basically figuring out ways to get your best people on the court for as long as possible. And to not even, like, ponder the idea of experimenting with it, I think, is what took me aback.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, clearly Popovich agrees and, you know, so named him to the USA basketball coaching staff.
I was a little, yeah, from reading the article, it seemed like he had no intention of even really doing much testing. You know, last year, I remember, you know, we'd look for it and you get the stats from Basketball Reference and there was not much time that they spent together on the floor.
Right.
And then this preseason, you know, they had 4 games they could have tried stuff out and they spent like 73 seconds together on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, in games that have no consequences.
Right, exactly. If you're not going to try it then, you're not going to try it. But unless you're, yeah, hiding something for the regular season. You don't want to give away a new wrinkle or new lineup that you discovered, which that would be the equivalent of Nate McMillan playing 3-dimensional chess or something,
right?
Like to do that sort of tactical thing. But yeah, so be prepared, Pacer Nation. This is going to be a frustration all season long, apparently, and despite injury, I think we're not going to see a lot of overlap in Turner Sabonis minutes, but who knows? As long as they win basketball games, that's fine. And you know, maybe it incentivizes Turner even more to, you know, in a contract year, prove himself worthy of being the starting center on a NBA roster, right? Because essentially Sabonis is going to keep kicking ass in the second unit. You know, like I mentioned before, he's basically given a double double every night out there in the preseason, and so he's ready to take over that position if Turner doesn't want to fight him off. So, because it seems like it's basically a head-to-head competition for that one spot,
right? And that's kind of what I'm seeing too. And I think that a consequence here might be it's possible that Sabonis takes his spot away, and then, you know, Turner may, you know, who knows how he'll deal with that.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't want irreparable harm by that, you know, just sort of caused because of some inflexibility or I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we definitely went through spells last year where Sabonis was closing games, and we were very worried about Miles Turner's mental fortitude. And, you know, he bounced back relatively well, but definitely never, you know, took that position by the scruff of the neck, if you will, and said, no, this is mine. Stay off the court. Like, I am the center of this team or whatever.
I'm a little worried too, because they spent the offseason hanging out together, working out together,
right?
You know, do you think it was you know, keep your friends close but your enemies closer?
Could be a situation of that. I don't know. Yeah, you'd think that they were hanging out all the time, they would have like developed some sort of chemistry that as a coach you might want to capitalize on by putting them on the court at the same time. But
they like willingly spent the couple months of the year they weren't going to be together. They chose to be together anyway.
Right, exactly. And Nate, you know, in his sage-like wisdom, you know, is just eschewing that possibility. We extended him for three more years. We had three more years of this Nate nonsense. Well, anyway, like I said, if it ends up leading to winning basketball, I'm fine with it. And, you know, the franchise will go forth and, you know, make a decision after this year. And, you know, if Turner's not the way forward, then, you know, that's fine. But, you know, yeah, well, I guess we'll see. But
yep, we will see.
Yeah. So speaking of going forward, on we go into the 18-19 season here. Game one Wednesday home against Memphis. I was confused by Pacers.com. Okay, so we host the Grizzlies on Wednesday, travel to Milwaukee on Friday, and then back home in Bonkers Life Saturday versus the Brooklyn Nets. So if our discussions and previewing the season are valid in any way, those are two definitely very winnable games against Memphis and Brooklyn, and what will be a tough game and a really interesting game, I think, against Milwaukee. I'm excited to see what they're looking like this year. And it's potential for a 3-0 way to start the season, which would be a good start because it gets tough quick after this.
Yep. I think we're trying to get Colson and I'll be there for sure, but Colson, I'm trying to get him to come with me on Wednesday. I think we should bring our brooms, right?
Yeah, definitely.
For the sweep of the week.
Sweep of the season, I would say. At home.
I'm excited. I'm ready to get this underway. I'm ready to see how some of this stuff plays out. I'm ready to see Oladipo in, you know, start the season off in the role that we know that he has now, which mm-hmm. is our perennial all-star, our perennial most improved player.
Now, as a season ticket holder, do you like get to the arena, especially early game one, because you want to see like the new, you know, the video board introduction and, you know, any of
day
the
one?
New,
day one, I try to do that.
There you go. Nice.
Because I will miss, I'll miss some of those later in the year.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly.
It'll happen. Yep. Traffic, you know.
Last year, my big question for you was who was going to be, like, the last person announced. And this year, I think it's Oladipo all the way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Any questions for this season? A different question?
No, I'm interested to see how the fans respond to Tyreke Evans. I think, you know, given that it's Indiana, they're going to love Doug McDermott off the bench. That's just you know, the white guy that can shoot, so automatically you're loved by Pacer fans. But Tyreke Evans is a bit of an enigma. He can be a ball dominant kind of guy, and, you know, he doesn't have the emotional resonance, I think, with fans that, say, Lance Stephenson did. So it'll be interesting to see how fans react to him, I think.
I'd say if McBuckets is obviously getting abused defensively, the fans will turn on him eventually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they're smart people.
I don't know. They loved Austin Crozier for all those years.
He was all right.
Yeah, but he definitely went through his spells where he got abused defensively.
That's true. It's true. What else? I think, I don't know, I'm just hyped to get this going.
Yeah.
And Oladipo was talking up Miles Turner, saying maybe he's got a chance to get the most improved player.
That'd be great.
And that's good leadership, I think. Mm-hmm. Somebody, he's put in the work. It's not, he's not just saying that, you know, he's put in a bunch of work this season. Turner did, and I'm hoping he'd come out and kick some ass and take a couple names.
That would be good. That would be great. It's totally possible. So there were moments in the preseason where he looked athletically clearly superior to what he used to be, and more aggressive in the paint, sort of, you know, dunking over people and blocking shots with extra smothered chicken. So I was excited to see that. All right, let's do it. Let's get this get this party started.
Excellent. Well, until next show, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's anywhere you listen to it, you can review us and share it with your friends, anybody else you think would be interested. And we've got some t-shirts for sale on the website /store.
And for our once and always coach, now in this Hall of Fame, and apparently calling me out of the phone. Our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over. I totally forgot that I have to do that when Coulson's not here. I was not prepared. Apologies, fans. I didn't practice that in the off season. I worked on other parts of my game, like putting on 5 pounds of pure fat.
Weight.
Of non-muscle.
Okay. Was it ligaments?
Some organs got a little bit bigger. My heart.
Oh, that's good.
I guess that's muscle, though. So.
It's muscle, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I heard the crazy... So, I heard a story at my job on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they did the new... Last year, they did the new uniforms and rebranded all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So there was a like they did a video where they were playing, like it was like near downtown, and they were playing, and there's like kids around and stuff, and like watching them play. It was like part of their like marketing for like the kickoff for that season, for the market branding or whatever. Mm-hmm. Apparently they shot that at the parking lot of my company.
Really?
Before I worked there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, the whole team was there. They're, you know, they converted the parking lot into they put the basketball court down there temporarily and stuff. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But I didn't know that.
You missed it.
I missed it all. Yeah, they were just like, it was pretty cool. Everybody was there.
Sounds great.
Know. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Surprised nobody mentioned it to me. It's, I've been there for a while, so.
That's all right. I mean, if you keep Connie on alert, and if anybody shows up to Mikado, just roll down there and, like, challenge them to a game of horse or something.
I could do that.
You know, like, if Miles Turner shows up, just be like, yeah, let's play some horse, dude. I got you.
I think I could make it. I could get to... I could pick him up to a letter or two, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be on, like... Yeah, it's going to be on some shenanigans, like behind the baskets stuff.
I mean, that's the game, so...
Yeah, I got to play on my strengths.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, you know?
Yeah, exactly.